True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Liam Cohen's debut with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You see ETN go off for 143 yards. Then let's trade our backup running back. That's how much we like ETN. Joe O, Sammy P, this is BetSweats, BetMGM Network. We want to bring you some fantasy angles, which, you know, as you hear, you all know, with fantasy, that crosses over with props. We've got a game tonight, huge slate in week number two. Some top-notch matchups that we are really looking forward to. We bring in our friend Dave Richard from CBS Sports. Check him out, CBS Sports HQ, CBSSports.com. Find his rankings there, at Dave Richard over on X. Dave, it's been too long. How you been?
Greetings, my fellow Chicagoans. It's great to hear your voice, Joe. Sammy, it's good to see you. Let's win some fantasy leagues this week, man. Let's get if you started 0-1, your season is far from over. Let's get that dub.
Well, I did start 0-1, so we could begin there. Nico Collins got me nothing. Joe Burrow had an awful game. I'm not going to overreact. I'm going to trust the numbers and trust that those guys will be just fine. I'm curious, though, as somebody who's done this at a high level for a long time, do you have a checklist that you like to look at after week one? Is there something that you always find yourself doing after that first slate of games?
The first thing you always do, and it doesn't matter if it's week one or week 18, you go back and you watch the games and you see what went right and what went wrong for every offense. And not everybody has the access to all 22 film, but if you've got it, you might as well use it. Not everybody has access to the data, but if you've got it, you might as well use it. And in the case of both of those things, yeah, there's things that look bad, especially for Nico. Less so for Joe Burrow. I think everybody can look at Burrow and say, all right, this dude's gotten off to slow starts. He'll figure it out. There's too much talent around him. It's too big to fail. With Nico, his problem isn't anything about his ability. It's about CJ Stroud really looking panicky. It's about the offensive line in Houston not getting fixed. And now here comes Tampa in week number two. And they weren't as aggressive against Michael Penix as I thought they were going to be. I think they ramp it up this week, and it could be another tough-ish week for Nico Collins, especially if the Texans, with the first-time play caller, just can't adjust quickly enough. That does worry me about Nico. I wouldn't panic on him. I'm certainly not going to bench him. But there are some factors in play in Houston that do make me a little bit nervous for the short time.
Dave, let's talk about the biggest story in the NFL this morning. It is confirmed, at least by Ian Rappaport, Brock Purdy is going to be out for some time. Now, we know Kyle Shanahan lies about injuries, but this one now seems legit when we hear 2 to 5 weeks this morning. Earlier this week, we got the news on Kittle. Unfortunately for Niners fans, it feels like the injury bug picks up where it left off last season. People were so high on San Francisco because of the soft schedule and all that, and they're dealing with injuries at the start of the season once again. You're feeling good if you have CMC. Because everything has to go through him. Everything. Yes, Sam bet him 20-1 for offensive player of the year. That looks good right now. But how do we handle this? What do we do with San Francisco? Is there anybody else that you find playable?
And I was a huge proponent of Ricky Pearsall during the preseason. It's a lot of P's there. I think you've got to really take a big step back on him. I know what Mac Jones did last year in Jacksonville. When he got the opportunity, there were seven starts. His completion rate was good. And he really just spammed targets to Brian Thomas Jr. Could he do the exact same thing this week and moving forward with Pearsall? Maybe. But I just don't think he's that good of a quarterback. His touchdown rate was lower than his interception rate. I think that you have to take a big step back on expectations for everybody in San Francisco except Christian McCaffrey. If I had McCaffrey in fantasy, first of all, when I did draft McCaffrey, I spent the draft capital round eight, round nine to get the backup running back, Brian Robinson Jr. If you have McCaffrey and you don't have Brian Robinson Jr., do yourself a favor, man. Take a player off your bench and exchange him for Brian Robinson, because he's the guy that would play in the somewhat likely event that Christian McCaffrey misses time. I'd want to have somebody on my bench ready to go. So if you're a little thin at running back depth, that's a move you've got to make before week two even starts. And as for the rest of this offense, Juwan Jennings, and Jake Tongas, like everybody's getting excited about him. Man, I don't buy it. I can't buy it. I can't trust it with Mac Jones under center. I'm going to need to see it multiple times. Get well soon, Brock Purdy. You are needed in San Francisco.
Okay, I have McCaffrey, so I don't have Robinson. Do I drop Bateman or Marvin Mims? Who do I drop?
What is this? So wait a minute. Robinson's just like straight up available on the waiver wire in your league, huh?
He's available, yes. But I need to drop either Bateman or Mims, because I'm not dropping
first.
Jordan Addison.
Okay, yeah, of Bateman? Course you're not. Bateman first. Mims would be second. Just a little disappointed in how Mims' usage was last week. Maybe that gets ramped up because Bo Nix looked really off on his downfield throws, and Mims is more of a – like most of his targets are going to be short area targets. Occasionally he can win downfield. And I wonder if they work in Mims a little bit more, especially if they can't get their run game going consistently, which they might be able to do in Denver.
I have a vault of guys that are either suspended or backups, and I'm saving them for a rainy day. Like guys like Caleb Johnson I have, Trey Benson I have, just in case we get an injury, I'm going to be A-okay. Is there a quarterback that impressed you that might still be available? There were some guys that had surprisingly big numbers in week one. Is there a guy or two that you might be able to pick off the wire right now?
I'm sure at this point J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix have already been picked up off the waiver wire in your league, but if for some reason they haven't been, you could stash them. I think McCarthy especially, the first half of that game, I don't think that's the real J.J. McCarthy. I think he's a gamer. I think Penix is too. They both really started to step it up in the second half of their games, and it's week one, and I think especially in the case of McCarthy, barely played in the preseason, so he needed to get some of the rust knocked off, and I think that he can be a good, I think he can run a little bit like we saw him run for the touchdown against the Bears, but I think he can continue to run even more than he did in week one. And I think he'll get more pass attempts and his accuracy should be mostly good. And we've seen what Kevin O'Connell can do with quarterbacks before. So I've got him ranked 12th this week. I think J.J. McCarthy can have another good game against Atlanta. And he's someone who absolutely impressed me in week number one.
With Dave Richards, CBSSports.com, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, you've got Bet Sweats. So we know the Lions like to play at home. They're more comfy. Jared Goff's certainly a better player when he is indoors, and that's where they're going. You go from Lambeau Field, where that place was going nuts for Micah Parsons, to now you're going home against the Chicago Bears. Where are you on the worry-o-meter, I guess, if you have Lions? No more Ben Johnson. Now you're back home facing the Chicago defense.
Maybe a two when we're talking about the Lions offense, and a stone zero on the Lions defense. Absolutely not worried about it. The Packers were definitely amped up, and they've got the best pass rush in football. Now, they already had a good pass rush and a deep pass rush without Micah Parsons, and then they add Parsons. Goodness gracious. They're going to be very, very tough for defenses to deal with, or offenses to deal with, including tonight against the Commanders. I think the Lions bounce back in a big way. The Bears a little banged up in the secondary. It looks like Jalen Johnson might play, but man, it's a night and day difference when it comes to pass rush. Like Chicago's pass rush is okay. They've got Sweat. They've got Jarrett. Dexter's not bad, but it's not like Green Bay. And the real kryptonite to Jared Goff, and this has been over the course of his career, is pressure. And when he's pressured, he's just not right. Now, the one thing that does also bother me about the Lions offense, they were running plays that just didn't make sense. They were running Jamison Williams and St. Brown 10, 15, 20 yards downfield right into the teeth of the Packers cover two defense. And if they're doing that, then who's open to catch anything short from Jared Goff? And the Packers were rallying whenever he did have to do that. Usually it was Jahmyr Gibbs. They've got to get more horizontal routes baked in. We saw that toward the end of the game last week. The shot to Tesla was a good throw from Jared Goff. I don't think he's a mess whatsoever, Goff. I like him as a start this week in fantasy. And I think that you'll see some bounce back games, maybe the next couple of weeks for Detroit, not just week two. That'll make you feel good about Jahmyr Gibbs, about St. Brown, about Jamison Williams, and even David Montgomery. He should find the end zone this week against Chicago at minimum.
Do you have a special strategy when it comes to defense? I've heard some wild theories over the years. I know guys that like to pick up teams that are playing like the worst offense and kind of rotate that every week. Do you just try and pick one defense and stick with it? How do you attack your defensive strategy in fantasy?
I would prefer to have one great defense and just use them every week, because then it just saves me the trouble of finding another DST from week to week to week. But there is nothing wrong with streaming. That's what it's called, Sammy, is streaming the defense. So one week, like a lot of people drafted the Arizona Cardinals and used them in week one, knowing that they can use them again in week two, because the matchup is against New Orleans and Carolina. It seemed favorable for them. Plus, they improved their pass rush over the offseason. When I evaluate a DST, the number one thing I look for is pass rush, because just personal philosophy, pass rush impacts the game the most. And so if there's pressure on the quarterback plays worse. Maybe that's when turnovers happen, and defenses can capitalize on that. I think that's the most important thing. And so when I start a DST, my first question is always, well, do they have a good pass rush? Can that pass rush get to the quarterback? If the answer is yes to both those questions, they're probably going to be in my lineup.
Dave, do you have a best bet for this week?
A best bet for this week?
Yeah. Like, from a team perspective, is there a team that you love this week?
I might go back to the Lions and just expect them to do a number on Chicago, because I think defensively they can rally after last week. I know they didn't look so great last week and Terry and Arnold's banged up, but I still like the personnel they have, and they're still running the exact same scheme that they ran with Aaron Glenn. Just hopefully their offense gets their act together. Can we see the Bears get their act together offensively? I'm going to say no. I don't think that they can do that. And so this could be a game where the Lions, you know, I know Ben Johnson playing his old team. I don't think Ben Johnson's really going in deep into his playbook yet. I don't think the Bears' offense is capable of running those types of high-level concepts at this point, and their defense is just okay. Dennis Allen takes too many chances. The Lions could win this game by, like, 17 points, and it wouldn't surprise me.
I'm sure the Bears fans love to hear after week one that Ben Johnson is still learning the player. That's exactly what patient Bears fans wanted to hear.
So I think, I don't know if Ben Johnson is learning the players. I think it's Caleb Williams not being comfortable with more than the most basic of concepts. I mean, he made a couple of really good throws, but he made so many terrible throws. I mean, honestly, like the good from Caleb Williams was mostly when he didn't have to think. He did well, and he ran the ball, and those things were awesome. But anytime he kind of like was back in the pocket, maybe a little bit pressured, he had happy feet, that ball went haywire sometimes. And so I don't know how Ben Johnson moves forward with that as far as like using more intricate plays in his playbook until Caleb Williams is healthy, not healthy, but like more comfortable with just the basics of football and that offensive line not protecting him. It gives me bad vibes about where this Bears offense could go, and certainly their inability to compete with a good defense like Detroit's.
These sorts of names are not new to you. I believe they're all in the top 20 of your top 150 this week, but we end up talking about long shots for offensive player of the year, receivers that are really good, maybe ones, but now they can go to that next year. Maybe they're going to be in that conversation with Chase or Jefferson. And all, you know, we've talked about, well, JSN. He's going to get everything he did last week. You know, some of the other guys out there, London has that ability. Do you have a favorite receiver that you see heading to that top tier?
As far as like making an offensive player of the year run?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What are the odds right now on Malik Nabers? Did they go up after week one?
Ooh.
They had to have. Yeah, they had to have.
Yeah, they had to. I'm
going to guess it's 50. Without looking, I'm going to guess it's 50 to 1 or higher.
Okay. I would be all over that. And I know that there's all kinds of issues in play there with his health, and the fact that he's on the injury report isn't a great thing. I think this Giants offense turns everything around when they change quarterbacks, and they really should have done it before the season started. But that when that happens and when they get Andrew Thomas back at left tackle, I think this Giants offense is really going to be good. And Malik Nabers could be somebody who, I mean, just his pure talent is unbelievable.
He's
one of the most talented receivers in football already. He needs a competent quarterback and one who's not going to take the first read and then panic, which is what Russell Wilson did last week. Jackson Dart won't do that. I think Dart's an interesting rookie of the year bet, actually. And I remember seeing that at 30 to 1 at one point. I honestly, like I called this before the season, I think the Giants are a playoff team with Jackson Dart.
And then,
It might be 9 wins and that's it, and they sneak in. You know, the NFC, I think, is kind of wide open when it comes to those 6th and 7th playoff spots. But I really do believe in the talent of Jackson Dart, and I think Brian Daboll's a good play caller. And I love Malik Nabers as a talent. And so I could absolutely see all those stars aligning and the Giants making a run. And their defense is very good on paper. And they didn't get their butts kicked by Washington because of their defense. It was because their offense just could not compete whatsoever last week.
All right. Good stuff, Dave Richards, CBSSports.com. Dave, I'll ask you off air about the U and tell the people what you have to say on the other side about this game against USF. That's next. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. You've got Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. We're still seeing it. It's past that key number of 17 and a half as we hang out here on this Thursday morning. Welcome back to Bet Sweats, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. And we were just talking to our last guest, Dave Richard, an alum of the Canes, about that game. And he seems a little nervous. He thinks they win, but he thinks it's held with it inside the number by South Florida, maybe around 2 touchdowns. Sam, closer to the number that you had in your power ratings, right?
Yeah, I was about 17 and a half. So that's exactly where I thought the number should have been. And we eventually got there. I'm trying to remember as I checked the box. So Circa opened it at 15. Mm-hmm. And within, geez, one whole minute, it got to 16. And then by the next morning, 17. So not really a surprise. I think there's this hesitancy for people to come in and lay points with Mario Cristobal. I hear it a ton. I hear it from sharp guys. I hear it from square guys. There's not a big appetite to lay points with that coach. And I think that thinking is a little silly because, as Dave alluded to off the air, Dave Richard, our guest, who was awesome talking about fantasy, and he watches a ton of film. His big takeaway from South Florida was they look small, and they are small. Miami, I don't think people realize how much talent Miami's got. If you can get past the coach, that's a really, really talented football team. But this is that leap year. I mean, all these guys that they brought in this current regime are now juniors and seniors. And that's what happened at Oregon. The guy recruits like a maniac. Talent is never the issue. It's the game day execution. But as a 17-point favorite, the house is saying that this should be a blowout. And I think that that thought process is accurate. Like, I'm not going to find myself on the dog. No way.
No. I mean, that was my first thought this week. Miami. This is a Miami game, and I get it. I do think the other side, not just the Mario stuff, but the Mario stuff in every game, like any handicap of any Canes game, he comes up in the conversation, right? Whether it's a lower spread and it's a big spot, like it was the Notre Dame game, and then they end up winning closer than it probably should have been at the very end, or whether they're laying points, he gets brought up in the conversation. Is he somehow going to cost you points in this spot? And you look at Miami's schedule, like you got Florida next week, and then they go to Florida State. This is kind of their tougher part on the schedule. It's pretty soft, man. Like this three-week period, or three-game period, I should say, as of right now, this is it. Like if they can get out of this 5-0, which is very doable as a 17.5 point favorite against South Florida, you got Florida next week after they have to go against LSU. That's a great time to play Florida in the middle of their just ridiculous run of teams that they have to go through. Like, man, Miami, they just might be running away with the ACC at some point. Clemson, surprisingly, way down. And I know we're just a couple of games into the year, but like this is just so key for Miami. I think Miami's going to lay it on them. Yes, you don't love that they've now gone through that key number of 17, sitting at 17.5. Would love to see if it comes down. The public is probably going to weigh in on USF. That's what I'm expecting. And maybe we can get back to 17, but I'm Miami or nothing.
Yeah, I'm very happy as somebody holding Miami stock and Carson Beck stock. I feel really good. If I told you that Illinois was 66th of 68 Power Four teams in sacks allowed, would you believe me?
Whoa. I would not.
Because they are.
Just based on their two opponents.
Yeah. 68 Power Four teams. They are 66th in sacks allowed. Now, I know they won by a lot, but that was a close game in the third quarter. And then it was not. The 28s are gone in this one. This was 28 Monday, Tuesday. I see Pinnacle at 27 now. Every other book, for the most part, has 27.5. I remind you, Illinois has Indiana on deck. Can we get there with a MAC team catching almost four touchdowns?
Yeah, we can. We can. Okay. I mean, I took Illinois to win the game in Survivor. Oh, big surprise there, a four-touchdown favorite. But getting inside the number, yeah. Yeah, I could see that a little bit. Are you mad about last week?
I am, but I like that's last week's over. I get over Saturday by Wednesday. So now that it's Thursday, I feel good about it. I feel refreshed. Like when you get murdered in one of those video games and you respawn, I have respawned. Thursday's a big respawn day for me.
Yes.
But that said, if I take Western Michigan and Illinois covers again, I will wholeheartedly and undoubtedly take the Hoosiers in week four. I will just chase Illinois down the rabbit hole. They call that a martingale in this racket, and that's what I will do.
Then you just have to bet on your guy for Heisman. Then you have to jump in it if the 150 is still out there.
Jake, I need Jake here. I need to tag in a friend. Jake, what's the final score? Illinois, Western Michigan. First score that comes to your mind. Go.
60-10.
Oh, see, it's already hit Jake. It's already hit him.
What?
60-10.
This is more about the opponent than Illinois.
I can't figure out where Jake's at, though. I'll be honest.
Imagine how I feel.
Know. Yeah.
Jake's all in after beating Duke.
I'm in a pretzel when it comes to Jake's opinion because I'm always ready for him. Mike is open. We're going to talk about Illinois. I'm expecting him to trash them and say how they never come up big, whether it's basketball, football, whatever. They're going to ruin his life, and they're going to be terrible. And it's quite the opposite. We've taken a 180. He is way too positive about Illinois football, and it concerns me.
No, they smash this week, and then they just lose to Indiana. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, you have a bet with Gertz?
No, because Indiana's going to win.
Okay. Damn.
I cannot wait. I mean, I can't wait for 10 toes down today because Gertz has been talking about it since Monday. But I cannot wait for Illinois-Indiana week. I cannot wait for that 10 toes down. That will be outstanding. Yep. Couple other games that I marked, Joe. Georgia-Tennessee has to be discussed. Georgia down to 3.5 on the road at Tennessee. And Clemson, Georgia Tech is now 3. So these games both opened about 6, and nothing but support for the dog. They took Georgia Tech plus the points, Tennessee plus the points. Now Clemson's laying 3, Georgia laying 3.5. If you had to take one of those favorites to win, I'm basically looking to build a 2-team money line parlay. Notre Dame is my first leg. I love the Irish just to win. I want to do Notre Dame and blank. Should I do Notre Dame Clemson or Notre Dame Georgia?
Georgia.
I agree. That's where I was
going to. Okay. I was going to ask you on Clemson as a 3-point favorite. Based on what we've seen so far, who is the better quarterback?
I don't know.
Right? Like to have that conversation in week 3. That's got to scare Clemson fans to death. Like, they didn't expect to be in this position.
Right. No, I think Klubnik has definitely disappointed for sure, but they can't run the ball. That's the more alarming thing, and Felder touched on this yesterday. If you can't run the ball, it makes life way more difficult on the quarterback. And their receivers, albeit talented, are very, very young. And I think there are some separation issues there because the guys are talented. But they just can't shake their guys right now, their defenders. And Georgia Tech's a very physical football team. So we'll see. I kind of want to stay away from Clemson. But I do think Georgia's going to win, and I like Notre Dame to win. I'm going to build that parlay in the next 5 minutes and see what we get. The other game, I find myself on some ugly leans this week. Western Michigan was 1, and then I kind of, I want a short offense in Oregon Northwestern. The total is 49. I like the under. That's a sleepy 11 o'clock kick in Evanston. I know it's a national TV game. It's a big noon game on Fox. Northwestern's going to punt from the Oregon 40 multiple times and just try. They're going to try and play field position. And I could easily see that being 31-10. I really want to go under, but then I got Jeff Schwartz here during the break who went to Oregon saying 49-0 or 56-7. And I can Oregon keep beating bad teams like this and just scoring a million points? I don't know. Northwestern's defense is the best they've seen so far. Now, that's not saying a lot. They've played 2 really bad teams. But I think looking at that Oklahoma State result where Oregon scores almost 70, I don't think they're going to do that on the road. And the market has really come in under. This opened 52. And now at 49, I still think it's not a bad idea to go under there. That's a sleepy, sorry spot. That 11 a.m. kick in Evanston, nobody wants to be there. The place will be half empty.
No.
I think that's an under.
And what's the body clock, 9 a.m. for those boys? 2?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I don't. We've seen this so many times, even with teams like Ohio State. That under is a way to bet on Northwestern without actually betting on Northwestern. And having to go through all that. I would agree with that idea.
Okay.
The Florida move. Everyone's down on them. Can't believe what happened last week. Fire the coach again. We're gonna relive that apparently. And you're going on the road in one of the toughest environments in the country. And they're betting Florida. We're not getting a 7, but we're just sitting there at 7.5. It opened 9.5. And they bet the Gators right away. We know that is respected money. Do you understand it? Are you with it? Like, what's your thought on LSU Florida?
Whew, early in the week, I was thinking maybe I'll get 10 and I would be I would be down to clown on 10. I don't know that it's going to close 10. I mean, it's not even eight anymore. They knocked the 8.5s and the 8 off the board. So, you know, market 7.5. As I said on Monday and Tuesday, I would love to get 10. If I would love to get 10, I don't think I could get there at 7.5. So that's going to be a popular play, though. I mean, you know the public's going to bet LSU, put LSU in moneyline parlays. There's not an appetite for Florida from the average Joe. Like, when we do the room plays tomorrow, what are the odds LSU minus 7.5 is one of the five? I would say very high.
And we know the sharp money is on the other side. And the sharp money, which side do you want to line up on?
I would prefer to align with the guys who move the market.
Yeah.
But there was a chance I thought, oh, maybe we'll get 9.5. Maybe we'll get 10. Very, very unlikely in this spot. By the way, I did tease this, so let me pay it up. A Notre Dame to win, Georgia to win, moneyline parlay is plus 115 at BetMGM.
Ooh. Yep. I like that. Looks good. I want to throw this one at you. Arkansas has played Alabama A&M and Arkansas State. It's a one-score number at Ole Miss. Ole Miss tested a little bit last week. They had to go on the road to Kentucky. Ends up being a one-score game. So we just lay it, right? We just lay it with Lane.
I know you're leading the witness here, but I'm willing to be led. I could be down for sure. Okay. At 7? Especially at 7. Other books are 7.5. Got to be 7. No chance 7.5. Got to be 7.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yep, I think that's a good spot. Man, Arkansas, it gets tough later on in the year, but that's life in the SEC where you have all those ranked teams down there. Any other games? You know, it's just because of the name brand. Let me throw this. Tell me why you're laughing first.
I'm laughing because I'm finding out that the UMass quarterback is probably not going to go. I just got a text about it.
Oh, my God.
And I'm laughing that Iowa – so it's Iowa-UMass.
Okay.
Iowa is a 35-point favorite.
Yep.
The total is 42.5.
Yep. Yeah. The first thing I did in college football, Sam, this week was on Sunday afternoon, I put Iowa in every college football survivor slot that I have. Because you're never going to use them again, and they have no chance of losing this game.
I need to do that. You are 100% right there. That is a bangarang. Iowa will not lose. Man, I want to get back on Duke too. I think Duke's last game was, I don't know that they're going to turn the ball over 5 times against Tulane. That's the case, they're going to beat Tulane. There's so much I like in college. It makes me anxious.
What do you feel when you see DeBoer favored by 20.5, some places 21 against the Badgers?
Oh, Wisconsin stinks.
I know. When I see that number, I'm like, oh, they must be really, really bad. Whew. It's a lot, though. Powerball. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic. You mentioned 10 toes down coming up at the top of the hour. I'll take a look at some updated win totals, NFL injuries, right next on the BetMGM Network.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here, Bet Sweats, top of the hour, 10 toes down. Gertz is hyped. Everybody's hyped for that coming up. We'll get some NFL injuries and win total updates. Sammy P, he's in New York. He's got bear bets going on. That's his Thursday ritual out there in New York. And you got a buddy in the room with you, don't you?
I got Jeff Shorts right here repping the Oregon Duck. Joe says Northwestern outright.
There are better ways to lose your money. I promise you they can find better ways, even just a 27.5. Sammy likes the under. I've been trying to argue with him the last 24 hours about that wager. So don't lose your money Northwestern outright or the 27.5.
What's the final score? What's the final score you got?
I need something like 45-7. I think Oregon plays their backups because they're young. They want to continue to score with the backups. Like, I can understand if they were an older team and just shut it down. When the backups come in, they're all young kids that want to play. That's my only reservation with them on unders this year, is that the backups continue to try to score.
We'll see. Thank you.
Have a good day, buddy.
Wow.
I watched this guy last night, by the way. We went to this local tavern out here, and he asked the bartender, how many wings come in an order? And the guy says, 7. Jeff goes, I'll take 3 orders of wings. The bartender looks at him and goes, really? Jeff goes, damn. Look at me, dude. Look at me. I'm 6'6", 330 pounds. Yeah, I need more than 7 wings. Very, very, very large man, Jeff Shorts.
When he came in the room, I hear you go, off mic, you are not small.
No, not small. And I'm tall. I'm 6'2". I'm about 220 right. pounds. I look small when I walk around with him.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. Oregon. Yes, they should kill them. We understand it, but it is a quite an odd spot going on there in that game. But I don't know. Illinois people can't even bet on it, anyways. We'll get to that coming up, and I'm looking forward to 10 toes down. What else we got? You know what I heard? Now we'll see if this is true. I heard that voicemails are being left for the show under BetMGM Network. You go to Odyssey app, go to BetMGM Network, and then there's a tab right next to Listen Live, correct, where you can leave a voicemail for the show. It's so easy.
It's very simple. I believe it's as simple as just hitting a microphone button. So I was kind of playing around with this last week because I was thinking, well, if nobody calls, maybe I'll call and just do a bunch of pranks. So if you go to the BetMGM Network, like I'm going to show it visually,
we're doing the Jerky Boys. Yeah. Like, what do you mean you're doing pranks?
Yeah. Well, it was something about a car, right? Or no, you kicked my dog. You kicked my dog. So if you go to the BetMGM Network, I'm showing it visually if you're watching live, that orange button is listed live, and then the button right next to it has a microphone. And all you do is hit the microphone, and you are able to leave a voicemail. Paul says we have a couple. So I want to play those at the end of the show. I like to play them during lightning bets. I like to do anything that we have to do important. I like to do that at the end of the show because that's the number one segment. People listen to lightning bets more than any other segment. So maybe we should tee a couple up at the end of the show. Like, that seems to be a novel idea.
For sure. Okay, so mine looks a little bit different. But, yeah, you've got the lit up orange Listen Live. And then right next to it, it does have a microphone and it says – send a voice message. So it's easy. Oh. It's right there for you.
Oh, okay.
I was like watching my grandpa.
Chris Broussard trying to join the show right now, too.
That was pretty rough.
Was that Chris Broussard?
Couldn't see anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Joe. That was a tough Zoom. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Tough.
Okay. Same thing with yours. Like, I couldn't make anything out. Like, that's.
Oh, I was way closer than you. What do you mean? That's right there. It's literally right on Main Street, right there. You were like.
Sam at least got the buttons into the frame. You saw like a sliver of the corner of Joe's phone.
Listen, I'm very concerned about showing anybody my phone, especially you guys, and on the air. I don't know what's going to pop up. You have no idea. My algorithm is a dark place. It's not a place that you want to visit or anybody should visit.
You're showing us your Odyssey app, not your TikTok feed, my man.
I was making sure. I don't really have a TikTok. I actually looked today because I was looking at all the social media platforms that we need to promote for the show. And I was curious. I'm like, oh, yeah, we do have TikTok and I'm not on TikTok. So I was like, what? How are we doing there? I'm like, oh, that's a good amount of followers. And then I started scrolling down all the videos that are posted on the network's account. There is one common theme, and it's probably not going to come as a surprise to you, Sam. If you have a college football take, go to TikTok because it is going to get thousands and thousands of views no matter what. Like some of the NFL stuff, like nobody cares. But on TikTok, everything that the BetMGM network posts relating to college football, like PJ, like every college play, like a million hits. Like they're probably going on there to scream at you or it gets posted in Reddit or something if you're going against your team. But it feels like college football does very well. That's one thing I know about TikTok.
Every time I talk with Kate, who does a great job running our social team, she tells me that Joe O is big on TikTok. TikTok loves you. She incorrect. Always, I swear to God, she says that every time we talk about social, she says that Joe O is big on TikTok. And I don't believe her, says that, well, like she's not saying you use it a lot. She's saying that when you have a take and they use something from BetSweats on TikTok, it explodes. So something you're doing, whatever it is, your vibe, your feng shui, you click on TikTok. That's all she's saying.
Maybe I need to start posting on TikTok. Maybe that's what I need to do.
I will not. No? I can't do it. I'm not doing TikTok. I'm not doing Threads. I have enough going on.
What about Blue Sky?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No.
People stopped. I did notice that. Like, everybody stopped with the Blue Sky stuff. But I don't know if people are posting there or whatever. But nobody's promoting it anymore. It went away.
Well, I don't want to get too deep into this. I couldn't even be on Twitter yesterday. It was the worst day of Twitter I've ever seen. Yeah. It was horrible. I literally couldn't be on it from, I don't know, 2 o'clock. Everything stopped, and I couldn't. I had to shut the phone off. I was like, this is a bad day. It's a bad day for the internet. But no, I will not be on. I will not be on Threads or TikTok. I hope, unless they make me do it, I will not do it.
Yeah, I don't think Threads is a thing. I think it's made up. It's like Paul with the sweeper, made up pitch. I think Threads is a made up social media platform. That's where I'm at on that. I see it on Instagram, but I'm like, that's not real.
But Instagram, does Instagram work with Threads or does it own Threads or does Meta? I'm so confused. Every time I see an Instagram post, I see that your friends are on Threads. So there's got to be some synergy there between Threads and Instagram.
Yeah, every time I go on Instagram, they tell me that Adam Hogue has something on Threads that I need to see.
Like, well, that's true. There's a lot of can't-miss stuff there, yes.
But Threads is Instagram. Ball? Like Instagram,
it's the same
Threads
thing.
Is Instagram? What does that mean?
Instagram. Threads is a derivative of Instagram.
Is Threads more like Twitter?
Derivative moon.
What?
Derivative
is Threads
moon.
More like Twitter?
It's like a Twitter spinoff for Instagram.
Twitter adjacent.
Right. Okay,
but it's
so if you hate Elon,
it's an Instagram property. I mean, if you hate Elon, I guess you're a Zuck guy.
I'm not buying anything that you're selling right now. Like you don't,
Joe,
see
Threads show up
confident.
On Instagram.
Okay, no, I know I've seen that. But
I am 10
when you're saying
down.
It.
I'm doing it early.
You're like asking
Threads
questions.
Is part of Instagram.
The Blue Sky people, all left X because of the hate speech and then just took their hate speech to Blue Sky. So it was like, really? I mean, like everybody hates everybody these days. Whatever.
Where were we? What were we going to talk
I don't know.
About?
I don't, did you, by the way, did you not see Chris Broussard bust in here probably to talk about his Ravens? So I
saw
him
the
yesterday.
Door open, but I didn't see that it was him.
So he yesterday, I saw him yesterday. And I told him, I'm like, dude, stop posting before the game is over. because he was doing the Ravens victory lap on Sunday night. He's got this thing where he posts a bag of chips when the game is out of reach. And he posted the chips and the Ravens robe and all that, and it was 40-25. And then, obviously, the Bills come back, and he goes, I got to stop doing that. I'm like, yeah, man, maybe wait till the game is over. And he was like, man, they had it in the bag. And I'm like, I know. And we gave the stat. This has happened now 8 times under John Harbaugh where they've had a 90% chance to win and they've lost. It's a problem in Baltimore.
Those primetime games this week with those late comebacks between Sunday night and then the same thing Monday night, when people start doing the victory lap stuff, like a lot of times those win probabilities, they do get home, but maybe they're on games that people aren't paying attention to. When you start seeing victory laps, maybe you just take the other side. You didn't even get the best of the number, but you had an awesome bet on the Bills Live.
Yeah. 11.39, I think, was my price, plus 11.39. But there were people that were betting it at 30-1 with like 90 seconds left to go in the game.
Yep.
Did you also see yesterday there was, I keep using this term, McCarthy derangement syndrome. Did you see that he won offensive player of the week in the NFC? And he did not have numbers. If you take all the numbers of all the quarterbacks in the NFC and just took the names away, that guy would not win offensive player of the week. But he did because of that fourth quarter, and people were losing their minds that J.J. McCarthy won the offensive player of the week.
Why? I mean, it was his first start, and that goes into it as well. And being on the road, a divisional matchup, under the lights, everybody's watching. And then as the game went on, he got better. I don't understand why. Especially when you look at it, and there were so many, I don't know about star players, but let's say name quarterbacks that threw for less than 200 yards this week. Not many went like off. Aaron Rodgers did, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He had a great week. Justin Fields had a great week and a loss. But there, the names at the very top of the board, like, yeah, you had your Josh Allens. I guess, is that the argument that it had to be Josh Allen?
Well, no, because this is NFC-AFC. So Josh Allen's
right,
AFC.
Right.
This was just the NFC player of the week on offense. And J.J. McCarthy won the honors.
I don't have an issue with that. He earned it, man. I don't think it's the last honors that McCarthy's going to be getting. 10 toes down is next. Joe O, Sammy P, be here. This is the BetMGM Network.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.